Chapter 12. The skin of Han's face started to burn with heat even before they'd entered Building 3 with its resident smelter. Or maybe his cheeks were just warm from hearing those precious, golden words. "You'll have to go off-world." Han wasn't sure why the thought made his heart race, but it did. Kira reached the door first. It slid open, and hot air poured out, so hot it pushed her hair back. They stepped cautiously inside. Tool was right. This building was not heavily guarded. Probably because no one came here if they could help it. In the center of the room was a giant silo, at least 4 stories high. Cartloads of scrap traveled on a conveyor toward the silo and up a steep ramp to the lip, where they were automatically tipped, emptied, then swiped to the side to make room for the next carts. Pipes along the ceiling fed the smelter with oxidation materials. From the round portal at the base of the silo poured glowing molten ore in 2 streams, a wider one for good ore and a smaller one for slag. The aqueducts bisected the building floor, traveling away from the smelter and under the wall, into another building. Han knew the liquid ore was cooled into sheets, which could be stamped and pressed and molded into all sorts of starship components. He could guess where the slag aqueduct led, probably to the river and eventually the ocean. Dumping into the water was supposedly illegal on Corellia, but all the factories did it. Workers stood on a catwalk above the molten rivers, using long prods to check for impurities. They wore shiny protective helmets and the thickest gloves Han had ever seen. They moved slowly and methodically, working in total silence, as though their hearts and minds were elsewhere. And they probably were. Factory workers used to make a decent living, but now that the Empire had nationalized shipbuilding, everyone was barely scraping by. Han guessed that most in this very room were involved in smuggling and black market trading, just to make ends meet. Smuggling had become the only way for honest people to make a decent living around here. That meant Corellian lives were going to get even worse if the Kaldana pirates got hold of that shield tech. Maybe giving it to the droids really was the right thing to do. A droid with repulsor lift technology and multiple dangling appendages floated around the side of the silo, checking gauges and making adjustments. Han wondered if it was part of the Gotra, too. How far did their influence reach, exactly? How many members of the droid Gotra were on Corellia now?
"Over here," Kira said, pointing. "That's the door Tool mentioned."
It was all the way across the room. There were 2 ways to get there. One was to cross via the catwalk, which was occupied by workers who would most definitely sound the alarm if outsiders ran past. The other way to get there was by double jumping over the aqueducts.
"It's not a bad jump,"
Saulo said, as if reading Han's thoughts.
"Big leap, careful landing, small leap. Easy."
"Yeah," Han said. "Easy."
Though, of course, if any of them misjudged it, they'd sink into liquid metal and burn alive. They wouldn't even have time to drown. "I don't see any sentries," Kira said. "But that droid up there might be a problem."
"We'll approach slow, then jump over the outtakes and sprint for the door," Han said.
"I say we take our chances with the smelter workers." Without waiting to see if he agreed, she began walking toward the catwalk stairs. Han caught up to her, grabbed the sleeve of her cloak, and whipped her around.
"Kira, if one of them panics..."
The door behind them flew open. Han barely had time to register a sea of shiny white armor and heavy blasters before he was rushing headlong toward the molten streams. The footsteps of his friends followed close at his heels.
"Halt!"
someone said, the voice filtered and mechanical.
"You're wanted for questioning."
Han leaped over the first aqueduct. His skin felt like it was on fire as he flew through the air. He landed hard, falling to his knees on purpose, rather than allow his momentum to carry him right into the second aqueduct. A body slammed into his back, Saulo, pushing him forward. Han grappled at the edge of the second aqueduct to keep from toppling in. Heat seared his driving gloves, scalded his skin.
Molten metal flowed and bubbled and spurted less than a meter from his face. Hands yanked him back, saving him. "On your feet!" Kira ordered. She pulled at his arms until he got his legs under him. Han expected to feel blaster fire in his back any second. Still, he paused to help Su'ulo gather his pack, which had slipped from the Rodian's shoulder.
"Let's go,"
he said, and the three of them leaped over the slag aqueduct and sprinted for the south exit. A laser bolt exploded into the doorway ahead of them, leaving a huge blackened dent. They stopped in their tracks.
"I said halt,"
came the voice again.
"Put your hands up."
Still facing their exit and freedom, they did as asked, putting their hands in the air. Kira whispered, "What now, improvised guy?"
I could use a good idea. Plan everything, girl," he whispered back.
To their right, the workers on the catwalk had fallen to their knees, where they cowered, hands over their heads. The maintenance droid continued to whirl around the silo, oblivious to everything.
"Turn around. Slowly," said the stormtrooper.
"Don't," Kira said.
"Maybe we should cooperate," Han started to say.
"If they were going to shoot us, they would have done it by now," she whispered, low and fast. "They missed on purpose. They do not want us to go out that door, but they do want us alive and conscious."
The stormtrooper yelled,
"I said turn around. Now."
"Think we should make a run for it?" Han asked.
"Definitely." Su'ulo said,
"I'm not sure that door will open. It got hit hard."
"What did he say?" Kira asked Han.
"He said, run."
As one, they burst forward, legs pumping as fast as they could go. Blaster fire erupted all around them. Han desperately hoped Kira was right, that the stormtroopers were missing on purpose. Su'ulo tried to palm the door open. It didn't budge. He tried again. Another blast crashed into the wall near their heads. One of the workers screamed. Han leaped forward and kicked the door as hard as he could. It groaned open, with a metal-scraping metal sound Han felt deep in his throat. The three of them exploded through the door and into the darkness of night and its open, icy air. And right into the arms of five stormtroopers.
"Let me go!"
Kira yelled, clawing with hands and feet, while Su'ulo and Han tried to shake their own captors. The barrel of a blaster pressed firm and cold into Han's temple. He went utterly still. Blasters were similarly pointing at the others. Han watched as Kira stopped fighting, took a quick, composing breath, and then stared straight ahead, hands folded in front of her. "Please don't shoot us," she said with preternatural calm. "We'll cooperate."
"Yes, what she said," Han agreed. "We'll cooperate."
One of the stormtroopers circled around to close the door they just exited through, then took up a guard position. Leftward, toward Building 2, was a swath of paver lit by a floodlight. The stormtroopers were not moving them into the light. Something about all that was strange, but the blaster at Han's head made it hard to think. Another stormtrooper stepped forward. He looked exactly the same as the others, except for an orange pauldron on one shoulder.
"I have something for you," the stormtrooper said.
And he held out an object to Kira.
"What is it?"
she asked, not moving to take it. The item was small, fitting easily in the palm of his gloved hand.
"A message, courtesy of the engineer."
Han gasped. Slowly, her eyes not leaving the stormtrooper's helmet, Kira took the item from his hand.
"The engineer has been watching you," he said. "She sends her regards, and she very much hopes you will be amenable to her message. Further, she hopes that you will not disseminate the method of the message's delivery. Not ever. Not to anyone."
With that, the stormtroopers pulled their blasters back, turned, and disappeared into the darkness.
"What just happened?" Han breathed.
Kira stared down at the thing in her hand.
"Seems like the engineer still has secret friends among her former employer," she said.
"It makes sense, I guess.
She would never have defected without a solid plan. And that includes well-placed loyal contacts. It's what I'd do.
What did he give you?
Tsu-Lo asked, pointing to her hand.
I think it's a holoprojector, she said.
What does it say?
Tsu-Lo said. At the same moment, Han said,
Well, turn it on.
Not yet, she replied, glancing around. They were at the edge of the foundry complex, out of sight of any floodlights. Those stormtroopers worked for the engineer, but I'm sure more are on their way. We need to get undercover. For the first time, Han felt that they might have a chance of getting out of this mess alive. The engineer had contacted them, in a way that proved she was even more powerful than they'd realized. She could help them if she wanted to, or she could easily have them killed. They'd just have to get on her good side.
Back to the safe house, he said.
Back to the safe house, she agreed. I know you're tired. Think you can handle driving the speeder back to the bottoms?
Always.